And I'm going to bring our next two presenters, Jasmine and Alia. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Hi, all right, everybody. Hey, so you are talking about ClickOnce and .NET 5, right?
That is correct.
Perfect.
Yes.
Take it away.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Alia Gavrish, and I'm Senior Program Manager on .NET team at Microsoft. I have Jasmine with me. Jasmine, do you want to introduce yourself? This is Jasmine. I think she's figuring out her audio. Yay.
Hi, sorry about that. Hello. I'm Jasmine Greenaway. I'm a cloud advocate at Microsoft. Excited to be here.
Awesome. And today we will be talking about deployment. So there are many different ways you can deploy your desktop applications. You can do it with Xcopy and MSI. Those methods exist as long as I remember myself. You can deploy your applications in Windows Store or with MSIX, or even using third-party solutions that are out there, such as Squirrel and so on. And in this session, we will be focusing around ClickOnce. This is very loved and widely used method of deployment. And it's not a surprise because ClickOnce has many benefits. It is very easy to publish and install. Name kind of gives it away, right? Just click only once and have everything done. It has automatic updates. ClickOnce takes care of updates for your application. So you can set up automatic updates, and only those parts of the application that have changed will be automatically downloaded. And then the full updated application will be reinstalled from the new side-by-side folder. There is no need for administrative permissions, so users without admin access can also install ClickOnce applications. There are various options for installation location. You can, your users can install ClickOnce applications from website, from UNC Pass, from FileShare, or even USB drive CDs on DVDs. And there is also an option to sign ClickOnce manifest with a certificate and provide additional security for your applications. And so that is the old ClickOnce that if you have been using .NET Framework, you all know all the features. We heard your feedback loud and clear that you want to see ClickOnce in the new versions of .NET. Once we announce that .NET 5 and then next versions 6, 7, 8, and so on are the future of .NET, you asked us to enable ClickOnce on those versions. And we did that. In .NET 5, we have a support for ClickOnce for WinForms and WPF applications. And with that, ClickOnce gets new features. And these are the features that are available with ClickOnce on .NET 5. Now you have two deployment modes. You can deploy your application as a framework dependent, and that way your application will depend on the .NET framework that is installed on your client's machine. That's the same way that you were deploying it with .NET framework applications. But also you can do a self-contained deployment. And in this case, the required platform, in our case .NET 5, will be packaged with your application. And on your machine, you don't have to worry about any pre-configuration. This application has everything it needs to run with it, and you can just send it to your clients and worry no more about the version of .NET that is on their machine. There is also option to package all files of your application with all files of the .NET framework. If you are doing .NET 5, 6, 7, if you are doing self-contained deployment, you can package it all in one single .exe file and just send one file. This is a feature we are currently working on. And right now, there are a little more than one file, but we're intending to make it one file in the nearest versions. And there are other improvements that my team is working on currently. For example, reducing the size of self-contained application by trimming out libraries from .NET 5 that are not needed for your application. So if you're on .NET 5 and the latest version of .NET, you will get all the new features that are available in the deployment area as well. And today I want to just take application, open Visual Studio, and walk you through the ClickOnce experience on .NET 5. And for my demo app, I picked Baby Smash. If you have seen any of the sessions earlier today, you probably have seen this app. We picked it up early in the morning and we kept evolving this app. In every session, we try to add something new. So Casey Sullivan earlier today ported this 13-year-old application that initially was targeting .NET Framework 3.5 to she ported it to .NET 5 with upgrade assistance. So if you missed that, check out her session and recording. It's a great tool, and it's very easy to port your old mature application to the latest .NET platform. And this application, it's written by Scott Hanselman. He wrote it for his baby to teach baby how to type on the keyboard. Let me bring up this application and show it. So when baby smashes on the keyboard.
What'd you say?
This is what happens.
N-E-P, B-O-O, book, big cat.
It also has a very cute
orange heart, red square,
smiley faces. Right. So this application right now is targeting .NET 5. Target framework .NET 5. Because we already ported it to .NET 5. And that's why we can use new ClickOnce on .NET 5. So I'm going to deploy this app. And I will go right-click Publish. Here, I'll create new Publish Profile. I will choose ClickOnce. This is the Publish location where my application will be published. I keep it being published. And this is installation location where my users will install my application from. And there are multiple options. You can choose from a website, from UNC Pass or FileShare, or even CD, DVD, or USB drive. I'm going to choose from website, and not just some website. I'm going to use Azure Blob Container to store it. And Jasmine later today will tell you how what it is, how it can be helpful, and how to create and use it. So for now, I'll just insert the link that Jasmine gave me to install it in her Azure Blob Container. On the next page, there are different settings. So in prerequisites, you can specify which framework should come with your application. And it has desktop runtime 5.3, the latest, by default, but I also can choose something else. And if I choose that, I can also set where I want that prerequisite to be installed from. Either it should be downloaded from component vendor's website, in our case, Microsoft, or download from the same location as my application, or I can specify that location here. Then in options, I can choose a publish language. We have all languages here. Publisher name, let me add my name for now. Product name, Baby Smash. You can specify support URL and error URL where your users can go if they're facing any issues. In deployments, you can choose automatically generate the following deployment web page after publish, publish.htm. So as a result, I will get a web page that will have description of my application and the button to install. So I'm going to share that web page with my users, and it will all look nice and pretty. In manifest, there are different options such as block application from being activated via URL, use application manifest for trust information, exclude deployment provider URL, and I'm going to choose this create desktop shortcut. And there are file associations that you can set up here. Then you can choose to make your application available offline, and the application can check for updates. Here are settings for updates. So do you want to check after the application starts or before the application starts? You can specify a minimum required version for this application and update location if it's different from the location that I set in installation location. I'm going to keep it as is. And here is the published version. So every time I want to release a new major version I increase this number or minor or build, and I choose that the revision should be increased automatically. Every time I deploy a new version, this revision number will bump up. Then I can sign my application with a certificate. I'm going to skip the step for now and go back to it later. And finally, the configuration page. This is where the differences between .NET Framework and .NET 5 are, specifically here in deployment mode. In deployment mode, now you can choose self-contained. And as I said, in this case, I will package the framework with my application. So I don't have to worry that my clients don't have the required version of the framework. And here are also options to produce a single file. And I'm going to publish it right now. While I do that, so the application will be published in this location, bin/publish. And OK, it is done. Let me bring up this folder. Let me search for publish HTML. Perfect. So it generated this web page that I can just give to my users. And it has my publisher name, version, and the button install. Let's install it. And I will keep it and open it. And
actually, see a cat. W. Red square, yellow heart.
Perfect. All right. So let's test the self-contained feature. I'm gonna ask Jasmine to do a favor for me. Jasmine, can I give you a link, and could you try to install it on your machine and see if it works?
Sure. Here. So I'm gonna go share my screen and give this a shot. Perfect. All right. Okay, so I'm going to go to my, my URL here.
Jasmine, I think you need to share your screen.
Oh, I'm not sharing it. I am sorry about that. All right, here we go. Okay, so here I am. I'm here in Baby Smash. As you can see, I am looking at the URL here for the application. So I'm just going to go ahead and click install. So now I'm going to probably get some prompts here warning me about what I'm about to install. And I'm just going to continue and report this as well. I'm going to go ahead and set this to keep and go ahead and keep anyway and install it. So I'm just going to go ahead and open that file here. And again, I'm getting some more prompts, and I'm going to run it anyway. And one thing I just want to keep in mind here while this is installing is that my browser here is managed by my organization. So that's why I'm getting all these prompts. And also, same thing with my machine. It's managed by my organization. So that's why I'm getting all these warnings telling me whether or not I should be, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing or what I should be doing. So this is something that you, if you are in charge of administrating your browsers or the environment that your users are working in, that is something that you or an admin can walk through to provide permissions and exceptions to be able to install your application. Good. And this is, yeah, no problem. And this is almost done here.
And the reason it takes, and it's pretty big file because we packaged the entire .NET 5 with it, because we really wanted to test that self-contained feature. But of course, you don't have to do it. You can go with framework dependent if you're sure your users have the proper version of .NET on your machine, then your application is much smaller size and installation process is much faster. All right, let's test it. I'm excited. Right.
Awesome. It's opening up, it looks like. Might take a second here.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Woohoo!
Ooh.
Yay!
Yay! Perfect!
Awesome
sauce. Thank you so much, Jasmine.
Absolutely. All right. You're welcome.
I will go back to my desktop. And the last thing I wanted to show you today, let's go back to this configuration file. And here, on the sign manifest. I wanted to talk about signing your application. So I can choose sign ClickOnce manifest, and I can select a certificate. I can do it from a store or from a file. I don't have any files, so I'm going to create a test certificate. I will provide a password. And here you go. It created a test certificate. I believe it's valid for a year by default. And there are details. Okay. It popped up on another screen. But... All right. So now I'm going to sign my application and deploy it. Publish one more time. And once I will look, once the publishing is done, in my project file, you can see now I have this baby smash temporary key.pfx. So this is my temporary certificate. And of course, you can rename it. And you know, that is a very bad idea to store your certificates on the disk or somewhere on the shared folder. So I will ask Jasmine to teach us how we can store certificates securely. And I believe she knows how to do that with the Key Vault, Azure Key Vault. So a few things now, I will go back to Jasmine and she will tell us about Azure side of things. Remember when I deployed my application to Azure Blob Container, she will tell us what that is and how to create it and then how to store certificates. So Jasmine, take the stage, all yours.
Thank you, Alia. So as she said, we're gonna walk through a few Azure features and services meant to enhance your experience with deploying applications to desktops. So first, we're going to take a look at the Azure Storage account, specifically Azure Blob Storage and Files. So when it comes to Azure Blob Storage, I've kind of condensed this down into four steps. And we already saw the first step that Olya did by publishing a new version of that application. So once you publish the application, while you're publishing the application either through the Publish Wizard or however you like to publish or to set up that publish process, you're going to set that blob container as the install and or update location in application manifest. Now, when you set that location, by default, the install location and update location are the same. But you can definitely set up two different locations for installation and updating. It's really up to you. And then, after you've gone and deployed your application and published your application, then you can go ahead and add those files to your blob container. So now you can actually move them manually by either uploading them through the Azure portal. You can do this through the command line. So if you wanted to add this to your CI/CD process, that is an option for you. Or you can also use the Azure Storage Explorer to essentially drag and drop your files into that blob container. So for those of you who might be new to blob storage in the Azure Storage account, blob storage is part of the Azure Storage account. And in the container, you could essentially call that, it could essentially say it's the folder for blob storage. So when you add, so that URL that I went to earlier where it's had like app, where it ended with app and then it had the application name. So the area that said app, that is the name of my container. So now we're going to move along to using it in the browser. So what I just did earlier when I went and installed the application was access where Olya deployed those files through the URL. So I went to that publish.htm file that she shared earlier to go ahead and download the file to install it. Now, I only have to do that once because thanks to ClickOnce, once I open my application, if Olya has applied any new updates and uploaded them to the blob container, then I can just open my application and get those new updates. So you do that first and second step every time that you want someone to receive those updates. And then after all that, the application is installed on your machine. So moving on to file storage, this is great for a hybrid scenario. So for example, if you are, you know, using some services in the cloud, but you have some services or applications that you prefer to have on your local servers or on premise. Now, with Azure, you have additional options with the file share. Because specifically with, and also the file share is another piece of the Azure storage account. So you can actually have a blob storage and a file share under the same Azure storage account, because the Azure storage account allows you to have many different ways for you to interact with your data, such as files. But the one thing with file shares is that you're gonna have a little bit more tweaking to do based on a few factors. So when you're setting up a file share, you can go ahead and mount it, but Azure requires access to port 445. Now, some organizations and some internet providers don't allow access to that. It might be blocked. So what you could do is actually set up a virtual network gateway to provide access to that file share. You can also secure that and authenticate with Azure Active Directory if you want to really tie down who should be able to access or mount that file share. And again, with this, you can also set up that click once deployment, have your application sent to that file share. As we saw in that in the Publish Wizard, Olya showed us that you could do a UNC path instead of a website. So you could set that up there. And also, this architecture diagram is actually part of the Azure documentation for architecture. There is a whole library of scenarios for working with Azure, for example, like this, and in any like other scenario that you might imagine. So I highly recommend you check it out if you are looking at planning maybe some a cloud deployment process. Okay, so moving along is talking about security options with blob storage. As you saw, that blob storage container, it's available. It was available to me publicly, and because of that, and with that, we tied down some specific security options for that. So first, these three are the ones that I really want to highlight. So with the access policies, you can tie down or set options on what specific policies or what specific things someone can do with your blob container or your files within that container. So you can set up an access policies for who can read and write or create or delete files. And then with the shared access signature, that is essentially the key to be able to access those files or those containers. And then with Azure Active Directory, just as we saw with that file architecture diagram, you could also set up authentication and security options through Azure Active Directory. So moving along is this Azure Storage Account Explorer. So this is the tool that I was mentioning earlier, where you can have a desktop experience for managing your Azure Storage Account, files or blobs or whatever you might have in terms of storage options. It's a really nice way for you to be able to access those files without having to go to the browser each time. And it's really straightforward to get authenticated. You just get like a code and you put that into the browser and then you're authenticated. It's really fast. Another tool I wanted to highlight is AZ Copy. This is a .exe file that you just download and you are able to use to be able to manage and access your Azure Storage Account contents. So this is great for copying from your local machine to Azure Storage, vice versa, from two different Azure Storage accounts. It's really really great and flexible for that. And like I said, it's executable, so you can essentially even add it to your path if this is something that you would be using pretty often, or even like CI/CD. So moving along, I want to look at a specific example of AZ Copy. So here I am adding, um, I'm I'm uploading a file from that published directory, just thinking about this process that we're talking at deploying with ClickOnce, that published directory or that /bin/publish place, and sending it to that storage container. So imagine that I want to use that URL that I use to install to be able to upload these files. And then I'm also overwriting if the source is newer, because if you have a large application, it might take a while for things to update. And then I also add another flag here to only include the ones that have been updated 10 minutes ago. So say that you're updating these files and you want it to be quick and snappy, and the published process will take less than 10 minutes. So you want to be able to just upload those ones that have been updated in the last 10 minutes to speed up the process. So you could do that with AZ Copy. And then finally, I just want to talk a little bit about Key Vault and how you can secure your secrets. This is just a really great way for you to centralize all of your critical information, such as passwords, API keys, and also certificates. So you could store that PFX file that Olya created in her demo to Key Vault. And so you can import that, or you can even create a new one. So now I'm going to show you exactly everything that I just talked about. But the first thing I'm going to look at is the application that I just installed, that Baby Smash application. The first thing I wanted to show you here is that if you take a look at the bottom here in .NET Conf, or where it says update information in here, where it says, Blob Store, Baby Smash application, that is my update location. So now I definitely know that whenever my application gets deployed, that it will show up in this location. That it will grab that information, that those new files from that location, and let me know if I have update waiting for me. Now, moving along to Azure Storage Explorer, this is where Olya actually put those files. So here I have my those applications files in everything that gets created when you create your blob, when you publish and generate those files. And the manifest is somewhere in here, and that published.html file is in here as well. Now, say I wanted to add an access policies, or work in my access policies. I would come here into where it says manage access policies down here, and I'm going to open that up. And I already have a few in here. So here I have ones for just reading. Here I have ones that have full permissions. And here I have one specific one here that is for just listing out things inside my container. I'm actually going to go ahead and close this and go to that shared access signature. And like I said before, this is where I can provide access to the users. So what a shared access signature does is it adds keys and query strings to the end of my blob or my blob container URL, and so that I have specific access. So say that I use that last access policy, the one where I can only list things out. I'm going to go ahead and create an access signature there, and see there are all the keys and things in there. And I'm just going to go ahead and copy that. And what I'm going to do is come here into my browser, and I'm going to actually go ahead and do the same exact thing, go to this published.htm file, but I'm going to actually do publish.htm, and look at what happens. I'm not authorized to be able to access this file anymore, because I only have list permissions. I don't have read permissions, and that's why. So that's how you can kind of tweak specifically what users can do with that shared access signatures through the access policies. Another thing I wanted to talk about is that you don't always need to have an access policy to create a shared signature. So notice that I can just do that all here. Now notice that you can also, and just keep in mind, you can also do this all in the portal as well. Okay, so that I believe is everything for the Storage Explorer. So now let's go ahead and take a look at Azure in the Azure Storage or the Key Vault in Azure. So I'm going to go ahead and open up my Key Vault here. And Olya actually already shared with me the certificate, that PFX certificate. So we're going to actually go ahead and import it in here. But before I do that, I just want to show you where the keys are, the secrets are, and the certificates are. So this is where you would go ahead and, you know, add or create or import your certificates or, you know, whatever that critical information might be. You can also access this through the command line as well if you prefer. There's many ways to interact with Key Vault outside of the portal. Either way, one thing I want to keep in mind here is that my PFX file, that PFX file, that test file that we created is actually too small to be stored as certificate because it is because it's not 2048 bits. Anything that's 2048 bits larger can be stored as certificate. If it is not, that PFX file is 1024. So what I'm going to actually do is store it as a key. So I'm going to go ahead and import it. And as you can see, you can already generate it. And I'm also going to go find that key. And I'm going to upload it. And we'll just go ahead and give it a name. Also put that same password in there. And we'll call it temp key for time's sake, to create. And now my key is uploaded and imported. One other thing is that you can actually have a history of your keys or certificates. So if things change over time, you can actually go ahead and change it. And then if for whatever reason, if you need a previous version, you can go and access it. You can also manage any deleted keys. And also, you can also set this up with Azure Active Directory to really fine tune who can access those keys. In addition to that, if you want to use Key Vault, like say you want to store maybe some API keys in your app or use API keys in your application, you can actually access Visual Studio Connected Services to be able and actually authenticate with Azure. You would log in with Azure and you would be able to have a key or a connection string accessible to your application to be able to use it. So you can also do that with a storage account as well. And I think that's about it. So if you are interested in learning more about anything that we talked about today, you can go to aka.ms.netconf-deploy-windows-apps. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. And I hope you learned a lot. And we'll see you on Twitter at .netconf hashtag. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I think we will respond to all questions on Twitter because we're a little over time. So back to you, Javier. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much. I was great presentations. That we're over time. There's several questions, I think about five or so, and they keep coming in. So if you look at Twitter for #DotNetConf, that would be great. Thank you so much, Jasmine. Thanks so much. There you are, sir. Hey, how are you doing?
Okay. I'm doing good. How are you doing, Javier?
I am doing great. You're going to talk about GitHub Actions and deploying Windows apps, right?
I sure am, yeah. And I was actually just thinking about how that previous talk that Olya and Jasmine did is basically the perfect segue into this talk. So
we planned the content. Like, it's like we figured out what we should put there ahead of time, right?
I just assumed that it was just people drawing names out of hats. It's like, okay, Isaac's going to go at this time. No, it's all set up in a way that makes it completely an end-to-end story for everybody, which I think is awesome.
Big brain right there. All right, so take